Before we start it, I want us to go back a few hours before our story began to a house where a young boy lived with his mum and dad. We don't know this boy's name. He was in many ways just a normal little boy, but he was about to do something very important. On the day we're talking about, the boy was very excited because he was going out with his mum and dad to see a teacher. Now, that may not sound very exciting, but this teacher was incredibly famous, and everyone in the village was talking about him. All of the boy's friends, everyone. The teacher's name was Jesus, and apparently he was saying incredible things about God and healing people. It was amazing. The boy could hardly wait, but before they could go out, his mum, and mums always want you to do something, don't they, said it was going to be a long day, so they had to make a packed lunch, and she wanted the boy to help. She said that he could have some small loaves of bread and a couple of fishes. Now, they lived in the days before there was a Tesco's or a One Stop, so mum had to make the bread herself. She got the ingredients together and then asked the boy to pass her a teaspoon. "I need this to measure out the ingredients," he said. The boy passed her the teaspoon and watched his mum make the bread. It seemed to take forever, but it looks like this. It's dough. And we'll be learning, I think, more about the dough a bit later, and maybe even eating it, but possibly not like this. You never know. At last, the bread was cooked and then wrapped with the fishes, and they were ready to go. The story, The Marvellous Picnic. It wasn't long before lots of people wanted to hear Jesus talk about God, and many more wanted to make him to make them well. So they followed him everywhere, from town to town, from city to country, and all the way back again.
"We need a rest,"
Jesus said to his friends one day. So they took a little boat trip across Lake Galilee, hoping to camp for a while in the hills beyond. But the people were so eager to see Jesus that they raced around the shoreline to meet him on the other side. Jesus was tired. But when he turned and saw the people following him up the hill, he stopped.
"They are like sheep without a shepherd,"
he said to his friends.
"They need someone to show them the way."
So he sat himself down right then and there, and he started to teach.
"God loves you,"
Jesus said.
"He knows what's best for you. The most amazing things can happen when you put your trust in him."
Jesus said a lot more than that. He taught all day, in fact. And by then, the people were hungry.
"Philip,"
yes, sir?
Jesus called to one of his friends.
"Can you go out and buy some food for these people to eat?"
Philip just laughed.
"What? There must be more than 5,000 people here. It would take more than 6 months' wages to buy such food."
Then Andrew, Peter's brother, spoke up.
"There's a boy here, Jesus, who has a little food, 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. But how far will they go in such a big crowd?"
It isn't.
Grinned Jesus, and he rubbed his hands together as if he were about to go to work.
"Can you make these people sit down in little groups, please? Tell them we're going to have a picnic."
Jesus' friends looked at Jesus. They looked at the boy's little lunch. They looked at the enormous crowd. Then they looked at each other and shrugged.
"All right,"
they agreed.
"Whatever you say."
Yep.
Jesus smiled as he watched them go. Then he bowed his head, thanked God for the food, and started breaking it into pieces. The friends returned and began to pass out the pieces. To their amazement, there was plenty for the first group and the second group. and the third group, and then every group, plenty for everyone, more than enough to go around. So much, in fact, that there were 12 baskets full of leftovers to take home. The people patted their tummies, they struggled to their feet, they wiped the crumbs from their mouths, and some even burped. But all Jesus' friends could do was stare.
"It is just as I told you,"
said Jesus.
"God can do the most amazing things. All you have to do is trust him."
Then he smiled at his helpers, popped a chunk of bread into his mouth, and started off for home.
There you go. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you very much. Now, that bread, that dough, is going to be taken over to the centre. Because what does it need to be, what needs to be done to it before we can eat it, yeah? It needs to be made into bread. It needs to be cooked or baked, as you said. And so it'll be ready, we hope, at coffee time. Now, if you would like to stay sitting down there, you can. If you turn round or you look up there, you'll be able to see the pictures, but the pictures will be behind me. But if anybody is in year two or below, Christine's got a little activity with her team to do there. So you've got to be year two or younger. And while you're doing it, you can still look at the pictures. So we've been thinking recently in church about kingdom lifestyle. That's about what it's like to live as one of God's friends and to live with him every day. And as we heard in that story about trusting God, we're going to find a bit more out about the excitement of trusting God. So we heard about a huge crowd. This story is in every gospel in the Bible. So it's really, really important. It's the only story that's in every four Gospels. And Mark, who's one of the other Gospel writers, actually says there were 5,000 men. But as we heard, it wasn't just men. It was women and children too. So it was probably around 15,000 men, women and children. Can you see that huge crowd? Can you, or the one behind me, can you imagine being one of that crowd? And they'd all come. Some of them had followed Jesus all the way round, but as what happens with a crowd, when a crowd begins to gather, other people join on. Don't know what's happening, Graham, can you? Pardon? I need to stop this somehow. Okay, right, let's see what happens. So if you've been in a crowd, other people tend to hang on. So there were some people there who really wanted to follow Jesus. They would follow him from one place to another. They wanted to know him. They wanted to discover more about God. They wanted to learn about God. But there were other people who weren't really interested in following Jesus. They were more interested in just seeing what might happen. Maybe they'd heard about the miracles and they thought, okay, we'll go just to find out. But their hearts weren't really in it. They'd just gone for the occasion. And if nothing happened, well, they'd give up and they wouldn't follow Jesus anymore. But the fact was that everyone was hungry. Every single person there was hungry. And Jesus cared for them all. Their hearts might have been closed to Jesus, But his heart was open to every single person. He knew they were tired, and he knew they were hungry, and he knew exactly what each one needed. And that's the same today. We talked about coming into God's presence, and it's the same for us today. He knows exactly what we need. He knows what I need, what you need, what you need, what you need, what you need. He knows each one of us so well. He knows exactly what we need. So, Philip was there, as we heard. Now, Philip lived locally. Who here lives in Oakley?
Me.
Me. Right, lots of people. Where would you go to buy some food in Oakley? Yes?
Tesco.
Is there a Tesco in Oakley? It's a bit further, it's a bit far to walk, isn't it? If you wanted to walk there, you're right, there's a Tesco in Basingstoke. If you wanted to walk, where might you go? There's another shop, yes? The One Stop. How many people have been to the One Stop? Right, okay, so Philip knew where he could go to, how far it was to walk. Okay, so Jesus says to Philip, where are we going to get some food? And Philip says, right, well, he looks at the crowd. Now, if there were 150,000 people here, and I said to one of you, would you go down to the One Stop and get some food? Do you think the One Stop would have enough food for that huge crowd? Probably not. We'd clear out the whole shop. And Philip worked it out. He knew how much it would cost to feed 5,000 people. Right, he'd probably got a calculator in his head, and he said it would take months and months of wages. In other words, this is just impossible. Because he knew they hadn't got the money, and they hadn't got the time, and they just couldn't get enough food for the crowd. Now, have a look at that picture. What can you see? Tell me what you can... Anybody, however old you are, what can you see? A box? A dot? Yes? Oh, wow. That's really interesting, a rainbow. Oh, yes. I think it comes from that light, actually. I didn't put it on there, but that's lovely. A rainbow is a sign of God's promise, so that's really good. So how many people can see a white dot? We all look at the little thing, don't we? But nobody said to me, I can see a huge blue square. And the fact was that Philip missed the fact that God was with them. He looked to his little resources. We can't feed this crowd. There's far too many people. We haven't got the money. It's too far. That's impossible. And quite often we look at situations and think, oh my goodness, this is far too much. Well, how am I going to cope? What am I going to do? And we look at the tiny dot, or we look at our resources, and we don't bring God in to what's happening, into the situation. So Philip left God out of the frame. But as we heard in the story, Jesus knew what he was going to do. Jesus remembered God's promise that he would provide for our needs. So the first thing to remember when we're trusting God is don't rely on your own resources. Include God in every situation because he can change things. So often we try and cope on our own. We exercise our will and our strength. But we don't exercise faith. Oh, God could help me. could have exercised faith. Jesus knew the problem was far too big for Philip, but Jesus knew what he would do, and it wasn't too big for him. And later on in the baptism, we will hear the parents and godparents being asked to bring up Noah to get to know God. And they'll be asked, will you do this? And what they will say is, with the help of God, we will. It's really important. With the help of God, we will. Philip could have said, well, it's a huge crowd, Jesus, and we haven't got the money and we haven't got the food, but actually, with your help, we can do it. So Jesus was trying to teach Philip that. But then we hear Andrew comes along with a boy. Here's a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, as we heard in the story, these loaves were tiny little rolls. Tiny little rolls. The fish weren't great big fish. They're a bit like sardines. Just enough to feed him. And that was all they got. And Andrew said, but here's a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, but that won't go far amongst 150,000 people. And Andrew looks at the problem, not the possibilities that there are with Jesus. And he doubts. And the question for us is, where do we usually sit? Do we sit on trust? I know, God, this is really difficult, but I know you'll help me. Or do we sit with doubt? I don't know how this is going to work out. And Jesus wanted to teach them and to teach everybody and to teach us that trust in him is the best place to be. Because when we offer what we've got to Jesus, he transforms it. And it doesn't matter how small it is. And it doesn't matter how small we are. And it doesn't matter how old we are. Or how insignificant we feel. Whatever we offer to God, whatever we offer to Jesus, he can make a difference. And when we offer our lives to him, he makes a huge difference. And that's what we'll be thinking about in our baptism, the journey of faith. So this is what somebody thought Jesus might be saying. I'm the Lord of love. I died. I went through Gethsemane for you. Trust me, because I can't let you go. So as I said, it doesn't matter whether we're, what stage of life we are, whether we're small, whether we're young, even if we're brand new, whatever stage of life, Jesus longs for us to know how much he loves us. And for us to put our trust in him. And there's an imagined picture of what it's like when somebody says, okay, Jesus, I'll come to you. And he just puts his arms around you and says, okay, now we can work together. Now I can help you. Somebody called W.M. Lewis wrote, the tragedy of life is not that it ends so soon, but that we wait so long to begin it. And Jesus was trying to teach the people in the story, begin your life with me. Live your life with me. Trust in me. And Noah today is beginning his journey of faith. He's beginning. It's a public declaration. This is what we want Noah to do by his parents and godparents. We're going to support him and help him. We want to help him get to know God and get on the adventure of life with Jesus. So remember, God loves you and cares for you even when you don't realise it. Let's say that together, but instead of saying you, say me. Let's say it all together. Jesus loves me and cares for me, even when I don't realise it. And then, don't rely on your own resources. Include God in every situation, because he can change things. And lastly, when we offer what we are and have, however small it may be, to Jesus, he transforms it. So there is excitement and adventure of trusting in God and living with him every day. Now, here's a little memory test. Can we just go back one, Graham? Thank you. Sorry. There's a little memory test. Who can tell me what the very first picture was that I showed? Yes? Right, even before we saw the crowd, yes? Pardon? No, even before the dot, right at the very beginning. Right, did you notice that there was a picture of a child leaping into his father's arms? No? Right, maybe we'll look at it right at the very end. But who, as a child, has stood there and said, "Daddy, catch me"? Anybody ever done that? Or leant over, or been on the wall, or asked the parent to catch them, trusting that they will catch them and discovering, "That's great, he'll catch me." And that's what it's like with Jesus, living with Jesus. Whatever happens, we are safe with him. So let's look at that last picture. And think about this. I don't know what tomorrow holds. Does anybody here know what tomorrow holds? You may have a full diary, a busy day at work ahead. But I'm holding the hand of the one who does. I'm holding the hand of the one who does. So just to finish, just hold your hand out. And just imagine you're going out of here into tomorrow, into the next week, into life, and that God is holding your hand. Father God, thank you that trusting you is exciting, because you change things. You perform miracles and you transform our lives. Thank you. Amen.